Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah in chapter number 42. Jeremiah and chapter number 42. We are in our final three messages of this series of the book of Jeremiah. We've traveled through with Jeremiah since the very beginning of his call. And now it is about 35 years he has been preaching, maybe a little bit longer. 35 years of trying to warn people to return back to God. And unfortunately, because the people of Jerusalem did not heed his warning, Jerusalem was destroyed in July of 586 BC by the Babylonians. The city is laid in waste. All that is left is the poor among the people. Everyone else has been hauled off to Babylon. Jeremiah, by his own choice, has stayed behind in order to minister, in order to serve, in order to try to encourage the people who is left behind to keep looking unto the Lord. And now we could see the aftermath of what has occurred, that Jerusalem's being destroyed. If you remember where we left off, is that the governor set was Gedaliah, and Gedaliah was unfortunately murdered by Ishmael. And Ishmael and his band of 10 murderers had murdered quite a few people, and Nebuchadnezzar's wrath had come back down to the people. Because of that, it's caused a little bit of a stir among the Jewish people who are left behind. And so they come up to the preacher and they have a question. And so if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 42. Jeremiah in chapter 42, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Jeremiah 42 and verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces, and Jehonan, the son of Kareah, and Jezniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least even to the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said unto said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all those things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Jehonan, the son of Kareah, and all the captain of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he might have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, But we will go into the land of Egypt, where we will see no war, nor hear the sound of trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall escape or shall remain or escape from the evil that I bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an excrement and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it unto you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor in anything which the Lord, which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore, know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a very declarative statement found in the book of Jeremiah 42? Jeremiah 42, and notice with me in verse 19, where God clearly says, go ye not into Egypt. Go ye not into Egypt. And with the Lord's help, we'd like to preach this message very simply. Go ye not into Egypt. Go ye not into Egypt. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, we're finishing up this series and we're starting to see the conclusion of the whole matter. That after this entire book of Jeremiah, how can we wrap up this book? How can we apply the book? How can we put a bow on this? And you've already provided it in this type of message here. I'm asking the Lord that we would learn how important it is to obey you, that you're a great God who loves us so very much. And again, as we come up to you, I'm just asking that you fill me with your spirit, that you would be with my lips, my tongue, my words, my thoughts, that you would let me say those things that you want me to say, that you would get across exactly what you mean. Just use me as your instrument tonight as I surrender myself to you, and that you would do a wonderful work in our hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we have this very declarative statement that God says, go ye not into Egypt. So what has occurred is that Jerusalem has been destroyed. After all these years, Jeremiah has been saying, return to God, return to God, return to God. If you do not, God is going to destroy this place. And so, guess what? They didn't listen. And guess what? Jerusalem was destroyed. And you'd almost think in your mind that, hey, God really meant what he said. He destroyed Jerusalem. Maybe, just maybe, we should get our act together and we should just do what he tells us to do. You'd almost think that that person would get it through their thick skull. Just obey God and everything will be all right. And so, if you don't mind, let's examine what occurs. Let's see what happens. Let's examine what happens. Notice with me, if you don't mind, the very first thing is their prayer request. Their prayer request. Now, after all the turmoil and all the stuff going on, they decide that they're going to go up and now let's go talk to the preacher. All right, preacher, let us know what we should do. Notice, if you don't mind, starting at verse 2, we have all the people gathering together, verse 1, verse 2. And said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee. Pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all of this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold. So everyone has gathered together, and you can imagine a small little crowd, all that is left. They've all come up to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, can you do us a favor? We got a prayer request. Can you go talk to God for us? And we want you to go ask God, notice with me in verse 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. So they come up, Jeremiah, we want you to go pray. You tell us what we're supposed to do. You go ask God, and whatever he tells us, we'll do. Now, Jeremiah has been the pastor, the preacher, for a long time now. And he's not fooled, he's not deceived, he knows what's going on. And so he gets in a conversation with him. He says, all right, I'll talk with you, talk to God. But notice with me in verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard thee. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. So he says, all right, I'm giving you my word. Whatever God tells me, I am going to tell the same thing to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to baby it. I'm not going to soften it. Whatever God tells me, I will tell you back. Is that a deal? Oh, yes, preacher, that sounds wonderful. Verse number 5, and they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not even according to all those things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whatever you tell us, preacher, whatever God tells us, we'll do it. We promise. God is our witness. We promise, whatever, we will obey. All right, so they have the word. Notice verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. That sounds good. Preacher, you tell us what God says. And no matter what it is, no matter if it's good, whether it's bad, it doesn't matter how hard it is, how simple it is, whatever you tell us to do, preacher, we will do it. God's our witness. We promise, we promise, we promise. We promise, promise, promise. I want to say double dog, but I think that's what works in promise. We'll promise cherry on top. We promise. We guarantee it. Whatever you tell us. Okay. And so we see their prayer request. After that, we see their prayer response. So Jeremiah goes off and he goes praise. All right, God. These goofballs here said, whatever you tell them to do, they'll do. So God, what do you want them to do? Notice their prayer response, verse number 7. And it came to pass after 10 days. So Jeremiah made sure this isn't an instant response. This isn't a knee jerk. He spent some time with the Lord and said, all right, God, what do you want me to tell him? He's after 10 days, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Jehoiachin, and called all the people again to them. Verse 9, he says, and said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your supplication before them, if ye will abide in this land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I've done to you. He says, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him. Notice several times they're saying, don't be afraid of him. Why? I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies to you, and that he, Nebuchadnezzar, might have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. He says, all right, this is what I want you to do. Bloom where you're planted. You stay right here. I know it looks rough. I know it doesn't look ideal. But you stay here and I'll bless you. You stay here and I'll take care of you. You stay here and I'll show mercies upon you. You stay here and I will plant you. I'll cause you to bloom. I want you to go, everything to be all right. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt. You know, God knew exactly what their heart was. Remember, if we're going to spiritualize this a sense, Egypt is always the picture of the world. And so it's either you stay here where God has blessed you, or you go away from where God has blessed you at. You go into the world. You'd say, well, we can have better. If we move over here, we're going to have it better. We'll be safer. We don't have to have anything to fear. We'll go over here. We'll be protected. We go over here. We'll have more food. We go over here. We'll have more money. We go over here. Everything will be roses. We go over here. We'll be set up. God says, don't do that. You stay where I'm at, where you're at, and you let me bless you. You stay where you're at. Don't go. Don't even put it in your heart. I already know what's in your heart. Get it out. Stay here. Stay here where I planted you. And he says, if you decide to wholly go to where I told you not to, notice with me verse 15. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you in the land of Egypt. So he said, you were afraid? What you were afraid of, if you go over there, that's where it's going to meet you at. Hey, that famine that you were afraid of, you go over there, it will follow you. By the way, you can never run away from your problems. You cannot. You need to go where God has directed you. You know, you are safer in God's will than you are outside of God's will. If God sends you to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, you are safer there in God's will than you are at home outside of God's will. Where God has placed you, that's where you should be. That this is where God, and says, don't worry about going anywhere else, because if you try to go out and say, well, I'll have more money there. You're not. It's going to be worse. Well, I'm going to be safer there. You will not. It will be worse. Hey, those things that you're afraid of, it's going to be worse. You know, it's always greener on the other side. That's usually because it's over a septic tank, right? God says, you do what I tell you to do. Don't go unless I tell you to go anywhere else. But right now, stay here. I will make you bloom. I will make you plant. And it goes on and it explains this. But notice with me again, verse 19. The Lord said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Now, they said, tell us what we should do. God says, I already know what's on your heart, so let me just be clear. So there's no misunderstandings. Don't go into Egypt. Don't do it. All right, you wanted to know what I wanted from you? Don't go into Egypt. It doesn't get any clearer than that. That is not a suggestion. That's not, well, you know, it'd be best if you stayed here. Don't go into Egypt. Don't do it. Don't go. Verse number 20. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me to the Lord. Now this is Jeremiah speaking. He says, I already knew what your heart was. And God knew what your heart was. You know what sometimes people pray? It's because they already know what God's will is. They're looking a way out of God's will. Well, I prayed about it, Pastor, and I have peace. What does the Bible say? You know, you could work up a false peace, but it's not based off of peace. It's based off of what is the Word of God says. What does the Bible say? Where is God directing you? Direct it off of the Word of God. He said, these people are looking for a reason to get out of God's will. They're looking for a reason to leave what God told them to do. They're looking for a reason to disobey. You know, teenagers are pretty good at that. Because they ask the question, why? You say, you can't borrow the car. Why? You know, they're not looking for a reason why. They're trying to change your mind. The reason why we can prove that is because if you said yes before you finished that S, they'd be squealing out of your parking lot. No one has ever said, "Can I borrow the car?" Yes. Why? All they're doing is they're trying to find a reason not to obey. You go up to your boss. "Boss, why did you say this rule?" You know why you're saying that? It's because you don't want to obey. You know, it honestly doesn't matter what he says. It's still what the authority gave. You understand. It doesn't matter what the reasoning is. If authority said to do it, do it. Whether children, you know, why? You know, because I said so is a biblical answer. You know, it is one of the most biblical answers there is. We could show that to you throughout the Bible. The Bible talks about in Proverbs that fathers have commandments, mothers have laws. Because I said so is a biblical answer. You don't need a reason. If authority said so, that's good enough. So they've already come up with the idea. They've asked, "Jeremiah, will you please pray for us?" They're hoping for the great answer that God says, "All right, go. I understand it's hard here. You go ahead and do whatever you want." That's the answer they're looking for. But that is not the answer they got. And so Jeremiah calls them out on that. And he says, "I know your heart. I know the reason why you asked. And by the way, I told you exactly what the Bible says. I told you exactly what the Word of God says. Now, you make your own choice, but there's consequences for it. You stay here and get blessed, or you go ahead and leave, and you're going to regret it, that God is going to destroy you, and everything that you feared is going to follow you." He says, "Make your choice. Make your choice." He says, "Whatever you told me, I told you I was going to tell you exactly what God said. Now I've done this. Now you've got to obey. What are you going to do?" So we started off with a prayer request. "Jeremiah, please tell us, preacher, what does God want us to do?" Jeremiah told him, "Don't go into Egypt. This is what God said. Don't go into Egypt." All right, wrote it on the board, put a banner on there. "Do you need another cupcake? What do you need for you to understand? Don't go into Egypt." So their prayer request, their prayer response. But then we see their pride revealed. Their pride revealed. Notice with me in chapter number 43 in verse 1. Chapter 43 in verse 1. "And it came to pass that when Jeremiah made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God..." Notice this. It uses their God. It's not talking about Jeremiah's God. It is Jeremiah's God, but it is their God that told him what to do. "Their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them," Jeremiah to the people, "even all these words. Then spake Azariah," and then it gives his lineage, "and all the proud men," notice this, "and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there." So this is pretty bold. This is actually pride. God calls it these proud men. They had the audacity. "Nuh-uh." That's in the Greek there. "Nuh-uh." That's what children are said right away. "Nuh-uh. Nuh-uh." So Jeremiah said, "All right, let me tell you what God said. Go not into Egypt." "Nuh-uh, that's not what God said. You're wrong. I spent 10 days praying. I told you I was going to deliver that." You would almost think that, hey, maybe Jeremiah, maybe the preacher actually knows what he's talking about. "Nuh-uh." Notice their excuse now. Now, they always have to have excuse. People just can't say, "Nuh-uh, God's wrong." You can't do that. So they have to come up with another reason. Well, God's not wrong, so someone else has to be wrong. So notice with me in verse number 3. "But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee upon this." They blame the preacher boy. They didn't even blame Jeremiah. They said it was your preacher boy told you to say this. What? I don't know any preacher who said, I got my message today from my preacher boy. Thank you so much. Nuh-uh, the preacher boy told you to say this. What? It's not even a good excuse. But you understand that when you disobey, one excuse is as good as another. I heard of a man who was knocking on doors and invited a guy to Sunday school. And the guy says, I can't make it to Sunday school. Well, why not? I got a quart of milk in the refrigerator. What does that have to do with anything? He said, one excuse is as good as another. It's true. They're all excuses. You either obey or you disobey. There is no excuse that gets you out of obey. You understand, biblical Christianity is very, very, very simple. You either obey or you disobey. There is no excuse given in the Bible that excuses you from obeying God's word. You know, in my mind, I don't do it, but in my mind, I play out scenes where people who are in disobedience and saying, you know, I can't make it to church. I knocked on a door not too long ago and someone said, well, I read the Bible and so I don't have to go to church. Well, if you read the Bible, you know, you should go to church, you know, but anyways, but in my mind, I like to have an imagination that someone come up and say, preacher, I can't read my Bible. Why not? Well, I just don't want to, you know, they said, and in my mind, I'm thinking, what would you tell God? What are you going to tell God? God, this is the reason why I can't read my Bible. How's that going to go? God, I know you're going to excuse me from this. I didn't read my Bible because I'm way too busy. And God's, oh, I didn't realize that. You're good. Excuses don't work. What can you just think about it the next time you're tempted to disobey. What are you going to tell God about? Because you will give an account one day. Why didn't you go to church? Well, let me tell you, the Cubs were in this World Series. And it's the 100th anniversary of the Green Bay Packers. I couldn't miss a game. God, oh, I'm a Packer fan too. You're good. It doesn't work. You can't come up with an excuse. Children, your parents said, wash dishes. And they come home and the dishes aren't washed. What are you going to tell God? Now, you could try to fluff your mother. You could try to deceive her. But what are you going to tell God why you disobeyed? Well, you know, I just didn't feel like it. Is that going to fly? You understand, people are going to do what they want to do. That's just a principle of life. People are going to do what they want to do. So they have to do something with the word of God. Because they can't say God's wrong. And so they have to do something like blame the preacher. Well, you know, I would obey, but my preacher's haircut, that's the reason why I can't read my Bible, is just because I can't stand his haircut. You know, the reason why I can't come to church is just because my preacher's wife wore a polka dot dress and you know, those are real excuses. People have said those before. You understand? It's just excuses. What keeps you from obeying the Bible? What keeps you from obeying God's clear word? You have to come up with an excuse in your own mind to justify why you are disobeying. Because Christianity is simple. You either obey or you disobey. For them, go not into Egypt. Nuh-uh. Your preacher boy told us to say that. God didn't say that. It was your preacher boy's fault. What? And so, you know what happened? The goofballs, they moved to Egypt. But they couldn't go to Egypt by themselves because they need God's blessing somehow. So they kidnapped Jeremiah and Baruch. And they brought them to Egypt. Because they figured that if Jeremiah was there, then God wouldn't send judgment on him, I guess. So Jeremiah said, don't go to Egypt. Nuh-uh, we're going to Egypt and we're taking you with me. What? No, we're taking you with us. And so they drag him and they drag Baruch, his preacher boy, with him. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 7. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came into Tephanes. And we're going to read the rest of the chapter some other time. But they bring Jeremiah with them. All right, so here was what happened. Jeremiah, can you go pray for us? Because we want to know what God's going to do. And whatever you tell us, we're going to obey. All right? This is what God says. Go not into Egypt. Nuh-uh. That's not what God says. We're going to Egypt anyways. Then why'd you even ask if you were just planning on disobeying? Because they were looking for God to tell them, do whatever you want. But God doesn't say that. Go ahead, do whatever you want. You're good. Nothing will happen to you. No, obey what I said, and I will bless you. If you disobey, everything's going to follow you. So they get down to Egypt, and they drag Jeremiah. They don't want to listen to him anyways, but they drag him anyways. So what happens is that Jeremiah's preaching another message later on down the road that they don't like. Then they decide, well, you know, we're tired of this preacher, and they stone him, and they kill him. That's where it ends up. That we end up, the whole message of Jeremiah is return unto me and God will take you back. But the message that the people heard is disobey God, disobey God, disobey God. And you watch the judgment of God pour upon the city and it's destroyed. And you'd almost think that someone got it in their head and say, you know what? I just think that maybe we should obey God or the same thing will happen to us. And it doesn't. And they drag the preacher with them. That they don't like his preaching, but they drag him with. Finally, they're tired of his preaching so much that they stone Jeremiah and kill him in Egypt, where they're not supposed to be at in the first place. And thus we come towards the end of Jeremiah. Looking at the whole message, all of this could have been avoided if they just obeyed. If they just obeyed. What keeps you from obeying God? You understand, when it talked about the men of pride, Genesis 3 speaks of this, that God says, now they are like unto us, knowing good and evil. What does that phrase mean? Well, that phrase means that man is like a god. It doesn't say we are God, but it is like a god. What does that mean? Because there's only one God in your life. Either God is God or you are God. Who determines right and wrong in your life? God or you? Who is the boss of your life? God or you? You see, you are either obeying God or you are God in your life. There's not room for two. That every time that you obey, you are allowing God to be God. Every time you disobey, you are saying out of pride, I know better than God. I can determine right for myself. You understand, this is a dangerous position to be in. And it just comes out, who is determining what is right in your life? You or God? Is God right or are you right? If God is right and you obey him, he blesses you. If you determine that you are God and you are right, you will receive the non-blessings, the destruction, the curses. Nobody wants that. You see, it just comes down to the simple idea, who is God? Why don't you obey God? What is the excuse? What is the reasoning? What is your rationale? Well, it's the preacher boy that told you. Well, I don't like the preacher. These people don't say the Bible is wrong. They have to come up with a different reason of why they should not obey the Bible. Well, it's not how we do things back home. Well, it's not what my daddy told me so. It's not what my mama raised me. It's not... It just comes down, you do what you want to do. But more importantly, it comes down, who is God in your life? That's this whole book of Jeremiah wraps up to this one question. Who is God? Are you God? Or will you allow God to be God? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.